beautiful, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And you've probably already noticed that that's not the normal music that we open Faith in Action with.
That's right.
But we're doing something a little better today, a little out of the ordinary today, and we're playing some special music because we've got a very special program lined up.
Yes, we're starting with some very beautiful liturgical music, and we have a special guest with us today, Andy Motika, who is the director of Archdiocesan and Cathedral Liturgical Music. So welcome to Faith in Action, Andy.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I was able to get all that out.
Yes.
Well, what were we just listening to just now, and who was singing that?
Yes, that is Vox Sacra, which is the Schola Cantorum of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. It is a select choir of mostly music directors from the area, but also other very professional musicians that sing for larger archdiocesan events and for both education and edification of the people of the archdiocese. The piece is called Dixit Maria by Hans Leo Hassler. The Latin translation is Mary's Response to the Angel at the Annunciation.
Beautiful. So. Beautiful. Vox Sacra sounds like it could be a name for a rock band.
I know.
It? Def Leppard, rock, Vox Sacra. I don't know. Just my thought.
And what does that mean? Give that title again and then explain what that means in English.
Sure. Yeah. Vox Sacra literally means sacred voice. And it is the a group that we put together about 3 years ago to sing for archdiocesan events to present a higher level of music that most choirs can achieve in the archdiocese, simply because our talent pool is so spread out. We have so many talented musicians in this diocese, but most of them are concentrated kind of at the top of their parishes. Our best musicians are our music directors, and they don't get to sing together very often.
Yeah, what a great idea. Did you come up with that, or was it kind of a collaborative, you know, saying, hey, just sitting around saying, hey, let's do something? Or
it was something of a selfish endeavor, to be honest, at first. It started about 3 years ago. I said, you know, I really would love to sing with a smaller group of singers and put together maybe some sort of small chamber choir to sing really high-level music that we just can't do at the parish level because we don't have the singers. And it started as something that I wanted to do, just something that I wanted to sing with.
Maybe God just put that on your heart. He wanted you to be able to use that gift and talent of yours, you know, in a way that you're trained, right?
Absolutely. So when I put the word out that I was going to start a group like this, I decided to hold auditions, and people poured in to audition for this group. There was so much interest in singing in a group like this, and it was a need that I didn't even recognize before I put it out there. So it quickly became apparent to me that this wasn't going to be just a small group that I could sing as a part of, as, you know, a four or six voice group, that I was going to have to expand it a bit bigger, and that I was going to have to step back and direct, because we needed to get as many of these talented people in the groups as we can. And today we stand at 16 singers, and I think that's where we want to keep it. It's a good size to keep it under control, but we can still do some larger settings, some eight-part music. And so
you know what? I want to ask you before we listen to some more music, because we are going to listen to a couple other pieces. What is liturgical music? And yes. What's the purpose of that?
Yeah. Liturgical music,
I mean, we go to Mass, but yes. what is it?
Yeah. Liturgical music is different from even sacred music. Sacred music is just generally any music that has God as its intention, or God as its goal and what we lift up, where liturgical music is that which is specified for the act of worship, especially formal worship like the Mass or the other sacraments. And so liturgical music has its own, it not only is filling its own need, but it also has its own stipulations that we need to fulfill in order to make it a part of the liturgy. And that's really where the key is with the liturgical music. It's not something that's just added onto the Mass or the liturgy. This is something that is a part of it. It is built in, it's baked into the Mass, and it's a part of it. And the best way that that's expressed is through sacred scripture and the words of the Mass itself.
Now, does that have to do with the words of the music, or the complexity of the music, or the type of the music? What makes it sacred?
A little of all of the above.
Liturgical.
Actually, yeah.
What
yeah.
makes it liturgical? Because there's a distinction there. So we'll stick with what liturgical. Makes it liturgical.
What makes it liturgical? Absolutely. Liturgical music is functional music, mostly. It fulfills a particular need in the Mass. So it can be something as simple as the Mass ordinary, like your Gloria or your Holy, Holy, Holy during the Mass. So those are very obviously liturgical pieces because they are the actual words from the Missal that we sing during the Mass. But it can also include things that are sung at other portions of the Mass. So something during the entrance procession is considered liturgical, or something sung during communion when people are receiving Holy Communion is liturgical music. And there are a few different ways that we can approach liturgical music as far as our choices, both of style and text and so on. I'm a big text guy, so I'm very focused on the text of what we do at Mass.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Andy Motika. He is the director of Archdiocesan and Cathedral Liturgical Music. And let's listen to another song. We're going to listen to, I guess, number two. What is this song? Give us a little preview of this.
Sure. This is a piece called Ave Maria Virgo Serena, and it's a piece by Josquin des Prez. It's a text that covers several of the events in Mary's life, several of the feasts of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and exalts her in that way.
All right, so we'll listen. There's really something that is so awesome. I mean, there's such something about music that I just listen to that and it just brings so much peace, and it just really is kind of transcendent. It really does facilitate worship and that connection with God. Is that kind of what it's like for you, or what's it like in your role? You have a couple different roles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about you.
Sure.
And you have quite an extensive resume in music. And how did you happen to get involved in music? So talk a little bit about yourself and then the roles that you do in the Archdiocese.
Sure. Like most things, my role in church music kind of snuck up on me in a way that I felt that God was calling me to this career. I originally started studying to be a music teacher because I always loved introducing music to people. I always loved sharing what I knew and introducing people to something that I think is really interesting and I mm-hmm. think is very beautiful.
And I think when you're yeah. really into something, mm-hmm. you just get on fire for music,
yes.
you know, you just want to share that with other people.
Yes. And so it started with that. And as I started to study music and especially music education a little more, I realized that that wasn't really the right path for me, that teaching in schools wasn't the right path for me. But I realized that I had always been active in church. I had always played the piano at church, or I'd always sung at church in choirs. And this is something I always loved. So I decided to study it a bit more. And I just fell more and more in love with it the more I learned about it. And when I started to put some of the pieces that I had already learned into the context of the Mass, that's when it really came alive for me. So, for example, almost every college choir sings some of the standard polyphonic repertoire, we'd call it. So things like Palestrina and Victoria, there are some pieces that almost every choir in the world out there has sung. But once I put those pieces into the liturgy, once I sung Palestrina Sicut Cervus at Mass, so now this is Psalm 42, as the deer longs for flowing streams, and I put that in the context of worship, and it not only is a gorgeous piece of music in its own right, but now we're putting it into the context of worship, it came alive. And to hear especially that style of music, polyphony, sacred polyphony, come alive in the context of Mass, I realized, oh, this is what this was written for. And it became something more. If it was possible to make that music more beautiful, the context itself.
Now, you and you use the word polyphonic.
Yes.
And another version of that word that I can't remember now. Polyphonic?
Polyphony. Yes.
Well, yeah, that word. that's the one. What is... polyphonic mean?
Yes. Polyphony is a style of music. It means many sounds or many voices. And unlike a hymn, for example, where a normal hymn would be what we call in a homophonic style, which is just one melody with an accompaniment that goes all at the same time. The words move all together, or the rhythm generally moves all together. So even most pop songs on the radio would really be considered homophonic because you have one melody that just goes along. Where polyphonic music has multiple voices in many different parts that are all independent of one another, and they come together to form these beautiful sounds and harmonies, but they're all acting independently.
I experienced that at a church over in Terre Haute many years ago. I know you're not supposed to turn around and look at the choir, but I was sure there had to be 50 people up there, if not 100 people, because they had these beautiful swelling voices and just filled the church with music. And I turned around, I think there were four or five. But they were singing just so perfectly and so many, you know, the parts so perfectly that you knew there was a whole choir there somewhere.
Yes.
And it just seems like, you know, when you listen to that, you're just listening to all these different parts. And I mean, I wonder if it's different for you, you know, having directing the choir. What's it like to direct a choir like this?
It is my privilege to direct this choir, especially this particular choir, which is full of so many talented people that I get to work with on a weekly basis. They show up prepared. It's a different kind of choir because these singers all practice the music on their own time. I know it's crazy to think of musicians that practice, but they work on the music on their own time. So when we get together, we just get to make music.
Yes.
And it pushes me a little bit because I have to work and I have to make sure I keep up with them and can try to push them a little bit to do a little more and go a little bit further than they already are.
Now, where do you practice?
We practice at the cathedral of St. Peter and Paul downtown in Indianapolis.
And that building has good acoustics?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
For the type of singing that you're doing, I'm sure it does.
Absolutely.
It was probably built for that, you know, because that building was built before public address systems and electronics were what they are today. So
yes,
the acoustics of the building were quite important at that point.
They definitely are.
Well, we need to take a quick break. We're talking with Andy Motika, director of Archdiocesan and Cathedral Liturgical Music. And when we come back, we'll let you know where you can hear them sing. So stay tuned.
Can you believe it? Another year is coming to an end. It's not too late to donate that car or truck to Catholic Radio. As long as you let us know you want to donate it by December 31st, the donation can count for your 2018 taxes. So look around a little. Do you really want to buy another license plate for that unused vehicle and pay for another year's insurance on it? You can donate it online by going to CatholicRadioIndy.org and clicking on the Donate Your Vehicle link, or just call us at 317-870-8400.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Each person has dignity and worth, not because of his physical abilities or occupation, not because of her skin color or status. Each person is valuable, not because of his productivity or age, but because we are human, created by God in His own image and likeness. And neither economics nor emotions should alter the length of each person's gift to humanity.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. We're talking with Andy Motika, Director of Archdiocesan and Cathedral Liturgical Music. And we were just listening to the choir that he directs called Vox Sacra, and they have an upcoming concert. So first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're still here with you. And tell us that the song that we just heard.
Sure.
Tell us about that.
That piece is called To Rise Beyond the Stars, and it is a piece by Leo Nestor, who is a modern composer, and it is a piece towards Mary. It is an ancient text translated into English, and it's a hymn towards Mary, the Mother of God.
Now, how many voices are we listening to on that particular song? Because that's like I was mentioning that choir in Terre Haute. It sounds like, you know, there's got to be a bunch of people there. How many people were we listening to there?
There are 16 voices in the choir, but there are only four parts in that particular piece. Some of the pieces we sing have more, but that one in particular only has four.
Well, it's beautiful. It is beautiful.
So there is a concert coming up. I gave a little tease there for people to tune back in, so I hope you tune back in. The Vox Sacra is going to be performing a free concert open to the public at St. Joan of Arc coming up. When is that?
That is Friday, December 21st, so the Friday before Christmas.
Well, that'll be perfect. And will you be performing some of this music? What's the lineup for the concert?
Yeah, the lineup for the concert is actually very different from what you were just hearing. We just released a CD in October of Marian music.
And is that what this CD is?
Correct. That's entirely what the music we've been listening to is. And we'll do one or two pieces from that CD at this concert, but this concert will focus primarily on Advent and Christmas music, which is just so lovely at this time of year.
So, you mentioned Advent. I mean, and in liturgical music, based on the various liturgical seasons, mm-hmm. right, they're different.
Yes.
And unique from each other. How are they different? And how is Advent music per se different than Easter or Christmas or ordinary time?
Sure. Yeah, Advent
music. Did I get them all?
Yes, just about, yeah.
I may have missed something there.
Advent music is some of my favorite music of the entire liturgical year. And unfortunately, because Advent is so short, we get so little of it.
Yeah.
But so many of our Advent hymns deal not just with Christmas and with God, the Word becoming flesh, but also our anticipation of that. And it also ties in nicely with the end of ordinary time because we start to think of the last things.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are we thinking about Jesus coming at Christmas time and Jesus's coming as Messiah, we also are praying for Jesus's coming at the end of time. And so we have kind of a dual request that we're asking God for at this time of year. And we are, O Come Divine Messiah means two different things, really, in the context of Advent.
And what are those things?
Yes, yeah, so especially at the beginning of Advent, this coming Sunday, where we're singing all about the end of time. We're going to be singing about Jesus' coming in glory. So we're singing and pleading for that coming now on earth.
Soon and very soon, right?
Exactly. Soon and very soon.
That's a more hip-hop song.
Sure.
But not hip-hop, but you know.
Right. But just as our Bible finishes, right, come Lord Jesus, asking Jesus to come again in his glory, we're asking that especially at the beginning of Advent. And then as Advent progresses and we get that anticipation of Christ's coming, things tend to get more and more joyful and more anticipatory.
Now, besides being the director, conductor of Vox Sacra, you also have another job, a full-time job at the Catholic Center. Is that right?
Yes. I split my job actually between both the Catholic Center and at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul. I spend my regular days working on music there at the Cathedral, both directing the choir and playing the organ and coordinating music for all of the regular masses at the Cathedral. But also at the Catholic Center, I work with other music directors in the diocese, both for educational initiatives and helping them to answer liturgical questions and find music and conduct other kinds of employment things and all sorts of things to try and support the other music directors that do such a wonderful job in our diocese.
Do you suggest particular songs at a particular time of the year? I mean, do you say that, gee, we're coming to this season of the year, so maybe you make a suggestion to the various music directors at the parishes to say maybe you might want to include this song or this song in upcoming masses?
I don't generally give suggestions of particular pieces, although if anyone asked me, I'd be all too willing to give all the suggestions they would like. But I am willing to try and help people find appropriate pieces for feasts. I get that question a lot, especially when you have some of the more unusual feasts come up. So when you open your hymnal, it's very easy to find pieces for the Immaculate Conception, but it's a little harder to find pieces for St. Francis Xavier, which is our patron feast coming up in just a week or two.
So what was that piece, Andy?
That is a piece called Totus Tuus by Heinrich Goretzky, and it was composed in honor of St. John Paul II coming to visit Poland for the first time during his pontificate.
And what does that mean in English?
Totus Tuus means all yours, entirely
all yours.
Yours,
right? Yes. We're all God's, right?
Yes.
That's what he was saying, right?
Actually, in this one, it is Totus Tuus Sum Maria.
Right,
so, yes,
that's true. That's
all yours, Mary.
That's true. So what kind of impact do you hope that the music has on people when they come to Mass or when they come to a concert like the one on December 21st?
Sure. Well, Vox Sacra in particular, my hope is that by being exposed to gaining a greater appreciation for higher level music, that people will thirst for that a little bit more. I think one of the biggest obstacles to people not quite getting what we're shooting for music in the church is because they don't have experience with it. They don't know what it could be and what we could have. And no, not every parish is going to be able to handle the highest caliber music in the world. But if we can just stretch ourselves a little bit more and reach a little higher to give God our best at Mass, I think that would make a big improvement in all of our lives. And my hope at Mass, when people hear beautiful music, is that it will help them to open up their hearts a little bit more, and that music at Mass is not only a part of the Mass and helps us to express ourselves through both participation and listening, but that that beauty can help us to open our hearts to the graces of the sacraments that we're receiving.
Now give us the date, time, and place one more time for the concert. I think people are listening and saying, yeah, I want to hear that. Where is it? When is it?
Yes, it is on Friday, December 21st at 7 p.m. at St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church.
Yep. And Andy, you have been a wonderful guest. I think we're going to go out and listen to some music some more. And you can get that CD, too. People can buy that CD by getting in touch with you. I guess it can go to www.voxsacra.com, right?
Correct.
And email you there.
And we probably should spell Vox Sacra.
Yes. It's VOXSACRA.com.
Correct. It's also available on iTunes, on Amazon, and all of the normal digital distribution.
And if you Google or use Google or Yahoo and put in Vox Sacra,
we'll be the first result.
Great. Okay. Well, God bless you, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for your beautiful music.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, one of the biggest features of this concert is going to be the Archdiocesan Youth Choir, which will be joining us with some of their own Advent and Christmas music. It should be quite a treat.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.